So we're moving on to the research update, which is agenda paper 8. So first of all, in the appendix, paragraph A1 summarises what we've got on the active research agenda at the moment. So we've got a discussion paper out on the principles of disclosure. We're drafting on financial instruments with characteristics of equity. We're continuing to discuss the dynamic risk management with AMF primary financial statements, and we've just restarted business combinations under common control. Discount rates and share-based payments, we finished up last year. What we still intend to do is to produce a more condensed summary of the work that was done. We don't intend to do any further work, but we still need to produce the sort of final wrap-up document that summarises it very concisely. Now, I think the question that comes up, the last two or three times we've given you an update, we've said we don't intend to start any pipeline projects yet. I think we're getting a bit closer to the time when we might want to think about whether to start one up, and if so, which one or ones. So the pipeline projects are listed after paragraph A5. Just a reminder, the pipeline projects are not on the active agenda. You don't have to go through any process to start them up. You can start them up when you feel it's the appropriate time. But also those 8 projects are the ones that we thought realistically we could do either all the research or a significant amount of it over this agenda cycle, so through to about 2021. So that's not 8 projects that we plan to all start up at once. So probably we should be thinking about starting 1, 2, or 3 possibly over the next few months, but not more than that. There are some brief notes in there on the each of the projects just to remind you what they're intended to be about. Starting paragraph A8, I've summarised what we said in the agenda consultation feedback about the kind of things we consider when we do decide whether to start any of them up. And having thought through those, there are some sort of initial thoughts I've put in paragraph A12. Which is, first of all, as far as I can see, none of them are so urgent that we should definitely say we've got to start this one next and we should be starting it tomorrow. Secondly, the project on variable and contingent consideration, that's something that came up through several questions that had come to the Interpretations Committee, and it was partly really on their recommendation that we put that in the pipeline. And to my mind, the first step of that project would be to actually assess what the scope of the project is and sort of how broad the issues are. So to my mind, that's not a bad candidate maybe for an early one to look at, so we've got a better sense of what it might involve when we are ready to start it. The project on provisions, if you remember, was something where we had a summary of the work that had been done to June 2015, I think it was. And we've basically done all of that project apart from tying up the final implications of the conceptual framework when we finalise it. So starting that one up fairly soon after we finalise the conceptual framework might be a sensible thing to do. And we also thought that maybe the pension benefits that depend on asset returns, which is a narrow scope project, which the research would just be designed to discover whether it's feasible to do the thing that we thought we would do with the discount rate, which is put a cap on the discount rate. And that research primarily involved doing some outreach, talking to subject matter experts, standard setters, the accounting firms, the actuaries, and so on. That might be one we could start thinking of relatively soon. One other thing I should, or maybe a couple of other things I should mention, actually. First of all, the projects on high inflation was something where the research is to discover or to assess whether it would be feasible to extend the scope of IS 29 so that it doesn't just cover hyperinflationary economies but also high inflation economies. And the South American standard setters have been doing some, did a questionnaire through the national standard setters, and they'll be, I think, telling us fairly soon how that work is going. So we may hear back from them at some point fairly soon. And the other thing I wanted to mention was the post-implementation reviews. Now, we've got the PIR of IFRS 13 fair value measurement going on at the moment. The next one in the queue is the PIR of IFRS 10, 11, and 12. And so we should be be starting to think about starting that one up fairly soon as well. Maybe not before we've more or less finished the IFRS 13 one, but we should probably think about doing that fairly soon afterwards. And I'll just remind you as well that the board also decided that the next one in the queue after that would be a PIR of IFRS 5. And that was something, again, that had come up through lots of questions that came to the Interpretations Committee. But again, I don't think we want to start too many of these things at once. So those are my sort of initial thoughts of what might be good candidates for the initial project or projects we might want to think about if we do start to move anything onto the active agenda.
First of all, I think that we should also weigh the urgency of PIRs against the urgency of research projects. But otherwise, we, you know, things in the pipeline might just be postponed indefinitely. While we have done very recent work on the standards, obviously that are subject to a PIR. So I really think we need to give that separate consideration and not automatically engaging in the PIR when there are more urgent improvements of older standards waiting. I also think it we need some brainstorming among the board to see to look at the pipeline and to look at possible candidates for prioritization. Quarter way, they will devote some time to do this, and we'll obviously bring it back to the open board session.
Can I just make one point about the PIR of 10, 11, and 12? Because there's one dependency in there I'd just like to remind you of, which is for the equity method. Yeah. We've said that it would make sense to wait until we've done the PIR of IFRS 11.
Okay, sure. I'm also not saying that PIR should automatically wait.
Right. Yeah.
Daryl?
Just to beat the drum a little bit, that it doesn't fall out of sight. I know extractive is a really daunting project, but it still seems to me like it's by far the biggest gap in our current literature. And I think it's a very, very significant industry, and the fact that we're just not doing anything about it. Now, as I know it's daunting. It's going to be likely a very long project, but I think just getting it underway would be a very good signal for us to
the one outside. Of the things that we have to discuss. Also in a general context of everybody's talking about stranded assets, including extractive industries, might be an additional reason for us to speed it up a little bit. Let's discuss that later.
Tuck. Yeah, thank you. I think starting PIR of IFRS 10, 11, 12 is the most urgent thing because, as you said, we need to start equity method as early as possible because there are lots of pending issues. And some of the amendments which we have made, but without, you know, effective date, so it's really old. So we need to start up the equity method as soon as possible. In order to make it, we have to start up the PIR of IFRS 10, 11, 12.
Mary?
I want to endorse both Daryl and Tuck's comments about two projects on our agenda. The third and fourth things that I want to say is Peter, I think it's helpful to have the warning flag about other activities in the wider corporate reporting, in the mix as we think about not only our capacity but also stakeholder capacity in terms of what we're thinking about. And I think that may impact how much we can activate. I think that we also should not underestimate what I think will be a very resource intensive PIR for 10, 11, 12. Given the significance of that suite, so that may impact. The other thing I wanted to flag is a question mark around the characterization, both in the paper and in your comments, Peter, about provisions and having, held it for the conceptual framework. I think there are a number of application issues associated with provisions, but my recollection, which I admit is very, very hazy, of the work that's been done in around provisions is maybe more conceptual and aimed at aligning the thinking in provisions with the thinking around the insurance project in terms of aspects of measurement. And I think that that is, I think the more fundamental conceptual issues in provisions is not necessarily aimed at answering what are the more pressing practice issues with 37. And I think we may be underestimating the significance of the debate that may be involved, which actually leads me to say let's think hard about whether that's the one we prioritize. I might tend to say things that we haven't wrestled with recently, such as extractive, such as some of the equity method issues, and question whether that really would be something that could be activated with relatively little additional effort.
I think we did actually look at all the practice issues, at least up to the time that summary was done, and that was a lot. The purpose of that paper really was to lay the ground for an agenda decision whether to look at any aspect of IS37, and if so, which. And it wasn't just focused on conceptual issues; it was the practice issues.
I said very fuzzy recollection.
Mary mentioning IS37 reminds me that at the Interpretation Committee meeting last week, there was a discussion about the definition of an onerous contract in 37 and what costs you need to consider for that test. And I think from memory, the committee is going to do some initial thinking, but the idea would be to consider whether there's something narrow in scope that we could do on 37 to address that issue, which has become important because of the link with IFRS 15 as a sort of more discrete piece of that. But we should probably keep that in mind as well.
All right. Let's take a break till 1 o'clock.